top boy. DJ Spino. Fire boy.
I love you fight kung fu, but I go fight for you. Jeez. I got my eyes on you. You got vibes on you. I love you die for you.
Ladies,
but I'll live my life for you. I got my eyes on you. You got vibes on you. Jack, I love you. We could go on a vacation. Have fun, maybe all night long. Jack, I love you.
You are listening to A Penny and a Peswa, hosted by me, Ursula Imra.
Give me slow wine in a fast car. Woo! I get money like bastard. You know if you reach my last card, I want to know your cash app. Oh, you want to make me do shit, no. Your body's a phenomenon.
1, 2, 3, fire.
I sang back in there for you. Anytime you know, I go there for you. Then you know, I'm writing a song for you. And you know, I do another one for you. Yeah, I love shit.
Welcome back to A Penny and a Peswa. Today, I told you that with season two, I am bringing you the hottest of the hottest topics, the hottest guests. And today, I have for you a very special individual. She is a YouTuber and she's studying to become an actress. She loves to read, and in her dreams, she is a Victoria's Secret model. Amen to that. Please welcome Nubuke. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on today's episode. I am beyond excited. Like, I cannot stop smiling. It's just unreal.
Oh, yay.
But yes, today we're going to be discussing beauty standards in Ghana in particular, and how the entire situation of beauty standards is viewed when it comes to skin color, body weight, hair, and is going to concentrate more on women.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe we'll talk about the men a little bit. I don't know. We'll see how the conversation goes on.
Yeah.
So yes, my first question for you, as a creator, as a YouTuber in particular, do you think there's a beauty standard in mainstream media that affects people's perceptions of how women should appear in real life? And if there is a standard, does it apply to men as well?
100%. Well, first of all, nothing that applies to women applies to men, as we've learned in the 21st century. In fact, as we learned throughout the different centuries, you know, I think time and time again, we see that the world standards for both genders are completely different, you know, and obviously now with the knowledge of all the different spectrums, people on the spectrum, there's different standards for the LGBTQ community now as well in terms of that. And so yeah, like 100%, like I think that the media portraying women, I can speak to myself, in a particular way has meant that, I don't know, has kind of meant that it fits you in a box, right? So if you're different from the box, for me, it's worked to my advantage, right? Because it's just meant that there's been a whole new flock of people that have moved to my channel now because they're like, I'm tired of, you know, people that are in this certain mold and I want something that's a bit different. I don't know if it's ever going to get to the point where people, I don't know enough about the negative impacts personally on me just yet. I'll say.
So then, just so that people who want to be naive know what we're talking about, can you like list some of the beauty standards that we see in Ghana in particular?
First of all, I think everybody expects you in Ghana to have a big bum. I don't have a big bum.
Yeah, that's true.
I have a non-existent bum, to be specific. If you're, so I'll tell you. So when I came back from, I think it was my first year of uni, I was listening to your podcast where you were talking about freshman 15. I'll say I definitely 100% went to my went through my own phase of freshman 15. And so I came back from uni and I was supposed to sew some clothes. And the seamstress saw me and like had gained some weight. And she was like, oh, hey, so you have not been studying in school, eh? And the idea behind that is if you gained weight, you are clearly not steady. Because if you are studying hard and you're working hard, then there's no way there should be meat on your body, you know? For example, that is one of the standards. But then you have, I don't know, I feel like the standards are also different for people in different social classes, I'd say. So if you are like Instagram and all of these things, there's a pressure to be a bad, you know, if you went to well, I can only speak again from me, if you went to the international schools, then there's a pressure to be, you know, all like put together, you know, in this setting, in this setting where, and it's like, bruh, can't I just be me, you know? But again, like I've always tried to steer clear away from that, because it just I feel like it occupies too much space in my mind. There's so many more important things, honestly, than how I look. There's people that are starving in the villages in America,
literally.
People are starving in America. And the reason I say America is every day Africa, people are starving in America. And so, you know, like there's things to be thinking about. Like I don't like these other things to be thinking about instead of like how I look, right? But for me, again, what that looks like now is how am I unlearning things and like relearning what I'm supposed to learn, because things are so messed up. Like I don't know who to trust, because the media, it's such a powerful tool for learning good, you know. It's such a powerful tool for being introduced to new thoughts of thinking, new ways to really embrace yourself. So I'll give you an example. Your podcast is here, you know. I was actually listening to a couple of episodes today, and like a bunch of the episodes are very educational, right? So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, I kind of like how this girl is thinking, but at the same time, it's like you can come across so much dangerous content that tells you you need to look a certain way, you need to eat a certain way. Like, for example, I was going to do, what was I doing? So at the point, I was going to do either keto or paleo. Now, the reason I was going to do these two meal plans is because I genuinely like the science behind it, right? So I've done the research. Mm-hmm. I like how it makes your body feel and everything. Like, it's just such a beautiful thing if you do it right.
Yeah.
However, I kept doing these diets and they weren't working out for me because...
They weren't working.
I just realized I actually don't have the best relationship with food. Like, as in, I only eat when I'm super hungry. And when I'm super hungry, the only thing available is their junk food, you know? So, like,
because
that's the easiest thing to freaking make. And so I was like, oh, Nibuke, I actually need to focus now. Like, my goals need to be focusing on eating at least 3 times a day. And then I can start, you know, moving to the next level, moving to all of those things.
Yeah, that was wonderful. There was so much I picked from that. And one of the things, I mean, like, there's literally like a list of 5 things I want us to talk about just from that first question. But one of the things I want to go back to is you mentioned something about social classes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is so important because just recently I was arguing with a few of my roommate and another classmate.
Mm-hmm.
They're both from Eastern Africa. They're from Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
And with other African countries, because of how the governments work, they don't really distinguish people by their social class, but cultural background or religion. Whereas in Ghana, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that in Ghana, it has to do more with your social and economic class than your cultural or
100%. I mean, you have to also think of it from this way, that Ghana is Christian, majority Christian. And then I think our second most practiced religion is Islam. And then you go into like the traditional, I learned this in RME or something. But
literally.
But they grouped it as like all the other traditional religions and everything. And so, religion, well, it's a very big deal in Ghana, but I'd say as opposed to a lot of other countries, were more friendly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So then, to what do you think that, I don't know how to phrase this and not sound like a, a critic, but then do you think that the beauty standards, of course, I believe that depending on your in quote social class, the beauty standard for you is different. Like you mentioned before, do you think that some of these beauty standards for specific social classes are determined by Western culture? Like, are they set to the standard of Western 100%. Culture?
Like, well, yes, everything is set to the standard of Western culture. I mean, after colonization, like literally, like I've been having conversations with my friends. It's like, so what is Ghanaian though? You know, because like I don't know. Oh, the funniest tweet that I saw was when like somebody was like, you know, when boys grow their hair, people and like it's usually come from the older generation, they're like, this is not our culture. This is not our culture. And then like you look through the pictures from before colonization and you see all of these people with their beautiful long hair. So it's like, oh, that's grandpa. What do you mean by this is not our culture? It is our culture. You know, but then somebody else came and they twisted it and all of these things. So honestly, I don't know. I don't know what unlearning looks like. I really don't know. I know I need to unlearn, but I just don't know what that looks like, where I'm even going to start from, because it's so big. It's so big.
It is. I think unlearning is probably the main goal of most of the content I put out.
Yeah.
We will definitely get to that particular topic at the end. But moving into question two, since you started talking about body positivity, I've also studied that in across the world, body positivity is becoming a more prevalent movement. I feel like in Ghana, it's still finding its footing. But do you think that body shaming is a problem that needs more hands-on address in Ghana? Like, do we need to do better to address body shaming, or is it something that's just part of the culture and we should leave it alone?
Oh yes, we need to do better. I mean, how, like, I mean, how can I just be there and you just be like, hey, we have grown fat though? I mean,
literally, like, I was just like, I personally have experienced a lot, so countless instances of body shaming when I was living in Ghana, when I moved from Ghana, just like people that you don't even know popping into your DM and saying things like, well, you have become fat. And it's like, well, and then when you complain, they tell you that because you've left the country, you've been exposed, so now you're coming to tell us that like fat is an insult. Exactly. And all that. So Tam, what are your thoughts on this entire topic?
I mean, it's like, it's so bad. Like, I don't know if it's a thing where people feel confident enough to come to you and, like, I don't understand. Why would you even shame somebody for things? You know, Ghana, we like shaming people for things. That's the thing. That
we do.
We're chief people for that. So if you're even saying body shaming, I feel like it is under the big umbrella of, like, constantly feeling like you need to share your opinion with somebody. Like, constantly feeling like you need to share your opinion with somebody. I remember I showed somebody, you know, a picture of like a dress that I liked or something, and literally the person's sole focus was on the model that was wearing the dress, and I'm like, I'm like, what is the, like, why, like what is the reason, like, why does it have to be, why does the focus have to be on somebody's body? And I think like now I'm understanding where people's like the reasons, I don't know, let me try and even gather my thoughts, like, because I'm so passionate.
Go ahead.
Like, now I'm understanding, right? you don't know why somebody is the way that they are, right? So for example, Saweetie was doing a video where I think she mixed Cheetos, like hot Cheetos, with something. I don't know if it was like hot sauce. It was something weird, right? And somebody, it was a tweet, and somebody literally looked through the comment section and they said, how come nobody's telling Saweetie that these habits are wrong? And that, like, as in, you know, if she should stop eating it, or because it's unhealthy.
Exactly.
Because if it was somebody that was bigger, that was doing the exact same thing.
For example, Lizzo.
If it was Lizzo that was doing that same exact thing, come and see the comments under her videos. It's like, can you really, like, I don't know you. And I even pulled up something that somebody told me recently, and it was really funny. And now I'm trying to understand. I learn a lot from like celebrities. So when drama and scandals happen, and like how people respond, I'm like, I always like ask myself, how would I respond to it? So I already know that being in the social media space, I'm going to get hate, irrelevant comments, and all of these things from people. So one of the things I've been trying to protect myself from the most is my mental health. I make sure that I don't reply to certain things, you know, that kind of good stuff. So anyway, somebody messaged me on Instagram. I have no idea who this person is, but they messaged me and they said,
oh my goodness,
because I posted a picture with like, it was like a double chin angle. Okay, let me be serious. It was a triple chin angle of my face. And it was basically, somebody sent me a text and a message, and they were like, why do you like to post these unflattering photos of yourself? Is that your humor? Genuinely wondering and not hating, because I think you're really nice, but you do that often with the belly shot and all, or is it a coping mechanism or something? And she literally sent me this thing. And I was like, you know, like, so I was like, do I ignore the message? Do I delete the message? Like, how do I respond? And I just ended up like double tapping on the message, like acknowledging that it has been
serious
and not giving it any like two thoughts. But the boldness, you know, the boldness, like, I hope my social media space and the things that I'm putting out there empowers people to be bold and confident in asking the right questions and saying the right things. Not that stupid message you're sending me into my DMs talking about, you know, do I have a coping mechanism? Is that why I'm showing, you know, all of these things? And it's like, no, it's because I don't care. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, it's because I don't know. I like it. Like, does that even need to be a reason? You know, does it need to be a reason? People are looking for reasons. Even, okay, I'll give, and let me even pick on myself. My first response was to say that you don't know how somebody looks like because you don't know what they are going through.
Yeah.
So you're assuming that, you know, somebody is big because they've been eating bad. Why does it have to be a reason behind to justify you not judging somebody? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Why does, just don't. No, focus on yourself. Focus on your own personal development.
Exactly.
Oh, goodness. My goodness. My goodness.
I mean, I'm as passionate as you are. And if I'm being very honest, the reason why I said Mubuke must come and talk about this with me is because the first time I ever saw you on my YouTube homepage, it was a video of you and Marinthia, and it was a thumbnail, I mean. And I think you guys were going to, I think you guys were going to work out. I forgot what the caption is. You probably know the video I'm talking about. But the thumbnail, it just drew me out. Like, her confidence is what I need to harness, because I've gone through so many people, even family members, telling me that, yeah, your belly, yeah. I've even had, like, a boy who apparently liked me tell me that I would be prettier if I looked like this.
Imagine.
And that.
Like, how dare you? And like, what makes that okay?
Exactly. And when I saw that, I was like, I don't know these two people yet, but I know I'm going to like them, because this is the type of stuff I want to see. Like, people need to be comfortable in their skin. Even with me, up till now, I am still not comfortable showing part, like wearing certain things, because I'm like, oh my goodness, if I post this on Instagram, Ghanaians are going to be at my throat.
That's definitely one of the ways that I challenge myself, right? That's definitely one of the ways I challenge myself to not care what people think, because now, quote unquote, the West is out. You know what I mean? Like, I honestly have taught myself, not that I take pictures of myself naked or anything, not that like I take nudes or anything, but I've literally had multiple conversations with myself about what would happen if by some divine intervention my nudes leaked. So I don't know, that let's say something happens to my camera. Please don't hack it to my camera, guys. let's say somebody hacked it to my laptop camera and they saw some pictures they were not supposed to see. Like, what would I do and how would I react? And honestly, I've thought through like my game plan and everything. And it is, and like, I think my friend Emma Governor put it perfectly when she said that when people start blaming you for how you, when people start like picking on you for how you look, you become the victim. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no situation where somebody picks on you for your looks and then they are right. They're like, there's no situation where somebody's doing that to you, somebody's hurting you and they're right. Like, I don't know, but then it brings up the question of how do you have healthy conversations with, I guess in this context, your trusted people about their health, right? Because I think in some twisted way, it stems from the fact that you, well, some people, let me not say everybody, but it stems from the fact that some people want to see you doing well, and being able to look at you physically is like almost a manifestation of what's going on internally as well. So like, it's like, that's how, that's the only gauge on how you're doing well. So if you, for example, go to uni, you're so excited about uni, like, and you have some drastic weight change. So it could be weight loss, it could be weight gain. People are like something is going on. It might not be. You might be chilling in your corner like, what do you mean? I gained weight. Like, what do you mean?
But right.
Somebody, I don't know. I guess it brings up the question, how do you help? Right. But then it also brings up the question, not everybody's meant to help. So I don't need a stranger coming to my DMs telling me, you know, oh, is my picture that, oh, some picture I thought was nice. You know, I thought it was nice. I thought it was funny. I thought it was quirky. That's why I'm putting this content out there with my beautiful triple chin. And so for you to see that content and assume that, you know, like even to put that claim on it as being something that I'm struggling with, for me, I receive information and I process it and I think about it. So even if I'm not feeling that information, once you tell me, I'm like, crap, is that how I'm feeling? And even if that's not what I'm feeling, then I begin to feel with it. Like, I begin to feel
that way.
So like, if you told me that I was bleeding on my toe and I wasn't bleeding on my toe, I'll look at my toe and I'll start thinking, crap, am I bleeding on my toe? Why aren't I bleeding on my toe? Is there something wrong with me? Should I be bleeding on my toe? And all of those things. So I just say that if you don't know the person and you don't have that relationship, your first instinct shouldn't be to tell them something so intimate.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I agree with everything you have said, 100%. Some of what she has said leads into my next question, which is a very two-part question. I feel this is a heavy question. I have spoken about a little bit about this in my previous season, but the first part of this question, which I just thought about this last night, do you think pretty privilege is a thing?
I love this question.
I recently learned about it. I don't remember whose video. I was watching it. I was watching YouTube. I heard it in some... No, it was a TikTok. But someone said, pretty privilege is a thing. Don't act like it's not. What are your thoughts
on that? I love this question. Because I was literally thinking about this name. And pretty privilege is a thing. God. Like, I'm not even going to like... I'm not even trying to toot my horn. But I've definitely benefited from pretty privilege. I'm definitely... You know what? Let me even tell you a story. When I was small, I was so cute. Like, I was very cute. So what would happen is I'd go to the shops. I'd have like my little sweets. Mm-hmm. I'd have thingy. And the people that would be before me who are paying for their stuff would pay for my stuff. Like, they just look at me and they paid for my stuff. Like, all the time. Like, it happened multiple times when I was a kid. I mean, it stopped when I guess I stopped looking cute and everything. But, you know, that was just like an example that actually hit me sometime. And it was like, oh, crap. You know, pretty privilege. People want to talk to you because you're pretty. People want to talk to you for so many things. And it's definitely a thing. It's definitely a thing.
And do you think that, I think individually as a person, you can benefit from pretty privilege, but how do you think it also hurts other people, as in what we see in social media, what we see in mainstream media? How does pretty privilege come into effect, and how does it, what are the negative or positive effects of it?
Negative effects of pretty privilege would be the fact that then other people don't qualify because they don't match those beauty standards that the world is giving. So exactly what we were talking about before, you know what I mean? If it's me next to, I don't know. I think Kylie is very pretty without, like, with and without makeup. Yeah. So if it was me and, no, let me pick somebody else who's black, because that's a whole different thing. Ryan Destiny, she's gorgeous. But let's say it was me and Ryan, if somebody pick Ryan because she's pretty. But if qualifications, you know, if my qualifications were more and you just picked Ryan because she was pretty, that's not really fair, because you're not looking for, again, the more important things. And I think we need to start getting to the point where we understand what are the values, treasure the values, go deeper than just surface looks, go deeper than just surface. People have gotten hit time and time and again because they focused on just the surface, you know, and it's like life is more, it's way, way deeper than that. So, there's so many different negative impacts. Like, there's just so many different negative impacts. I don't know if the word I would say for the opposite of it would be what are the positives, because for me the positives would always be because I feel like pretty privilege is too linked to your body and all of those things. Like, it's not just your face.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just your face. So if I was that's why you come into situations where it's like casting, and it's like somebody wants to cast a prettier person because it means more people are tuning into the news show, for example. More people watch the news if you're pretty, which I guess on a surface level, that's actually like, you use it for good because you're wielding that weapon to make people now learn about the news.
Exactly.
But it's like, I don't know. It's so tough.
It's I feel like, to me, the very new concept, and I'm still thinking through like how it actually works. But I definitely agree with you. Leading into my next part of the question, which relates to pretty privilege a little bit, but I like the fact that you spoke about comparing yourself to between you and mm-hmm. Kylie Jenner, which one would be chosen? Mm-hmm. Because the next question goes into colorism mm-hmm. and skin bleaching yeah. and so on and so forth. But I've done a lot of research mm-hmm. on this topic in mm-hmm. school. And I have come to learn that Ghana is part of the top 10 countries that has a skin bleaching industry that yes. is thriving. And I have experienced yeah. colorism.
Yeah.
But I just want to know, do you think that colorism mm-hmm. is actually a prevalent issue in our generation as of today? And if yes, how does it look? How do we see it play yeah. out in our day-to-day life through
yeah.
media, social media,
yeah, yeah.
films, etc.?
That's so interesting because I feel like I need to do better in terms of knowing more about like how other people encounter life. I constantly see life through mm-hmm. my perspective. I'm constantly like thinking of what's going on through my lens. So that's a very good question. Like, what's our generation saying? I'll say this, that the only time I won't say I've ever wanted to be lighter, but I remember one time I wanted to buy bleach. This was when I was small, so like 9. And it's because my nanny had been using some skin mm-hmm. cream that was making her lighter. And so because of that, then. Yeah. But it wasn't as intense. It was just, I don't know, it was just like some skin pomade. So because of that, I too was mm-hmm. like, oh, she should buy me some. And I think she couldn't buy me some. So that's the only reason I didn't use that. But my mommy has done a very good job of raising me to be somebody who owns my skin color. So it's never been a thing. Because, you know, people's households, if people are constantly talking about things, those are the things you are picking up. So if somebody's mom
or
dad is constantly in the household, is constantly talking about, you know, skin color, you start thinking, am I not good mm-hmm. enough? Right? And so anyway, that was that. And then I remember that there's this bleaching company in Ghana. When I remember the name, I'll let you know. But they had a signboard that was talking about, like, the lighter, the more beautiful, or some stupid catchphrase mm-hmm. like that. And I went to high school in Tema, and I always used to see that when I was going to school. And I always used to get upset. But imagine I wasn't upset at that. And I constantly was thinking, okay, maybe lighter is prettier, right? Which is what the media a lot of times has been telling people. That's why Ghana and Nigeria are thriving with people selling bleaching powder, because being dark isn't good enough, is what they are telling you.
Yeah.
You know, that you need to be lighter. And if anybody's listening to this and you battle with those things, like, this isn't to bash you or anything. Like I genuinely want you to be able to fall in love with who you are. And that's a journey that we're all on. You know, fall in love with your skin mm-hmm. color. This obsession, you know, with being somebody else, this obsession with being lighter. Sure, like, I understand what they, like, a lot of people are like, you know, I think it was the Netflix documentary which really brought to light where people are like, it's not just that I want to be lighter. I need to be lighter because being lighter gets me all of these privileges. You know, like, I was listening to this book. It was called The Vanishing Half. And, you know, mm-hmm. one of the, I listened to the audiobook, but it's also like a reading book.
Oh, okay.
And one of the girls, they were just light skinned twins, you know, and one of them actually ended up moving to some white suburbs and pretended to be white. Cause like, when I'm white, there's the racism hits different. You know, when I'm white, mm-hmm. life hits different. When I'm white, I get all of these privileges. People are not even worrying me. So I don't blame people for wanting to bleach themselves, because if a man tells you they are going to be beautiful, in that Netflix documentary, I think it's called Skin. In that Netflix documentary,
yeah, it's called Skin.
One of the women was literally saying that, I bleach myself because my boyfriend likes it, you know, or something mm-hmm. like that. And it's like, mm-hmm. it's like, wow. You know what I mean? It's like, stop telling people they can't be who they want to be, because then you make them feel like they have to be somebody else, and it's hurting them. For me, that's the thing that's hurting me about bleaching. It's not even the so much the fact that it's not even so much the fact that you want to be a different person, because I think we all go through phases where we'd rather be different people, but it's the fact that it's hurting you as well. Like, you're hurting yourself in the process. Mm-hmm. You're trying to take away that melanin. And the way bleaching works, if I can remember correctly, you need to keep on bleaching, because when you stop bleaching, now you even get darker than you got before you even freaking started bleaching in the first place. So it's like, what? It's like, what do you want from me? You know?
Well, exactly.
So it's this vicious cycle. And it's hard.
I like, the reason why I always like to talk about colorism in particular is because I feel like I know that when I was growing up in Ghana, help me like divide this situation. Mm-hmm. So I was born in the US. I came to Ghana in 2009. Mm-hmm. I was always known as that American girl, that dark-skinned American girl. And people used to call me like Black Beauty and this and that. Mm-hmm. But then there are other dark-skinned girls in my class who would be bashed because they were dark-skinned. Mm-hmm. So I just assumed that because I was that American dark-skinned girl, I was like acceptable to like whatever their standards were. But once I when I got into senior high school, girls actually started telling me that, like, I am too dark. I need to lighten my skin. And my skin tone doesn't fit with my behavior and all these sorts of things. And I was like, you know what? Ghanaians are just crazy. Let me leave the country. Bye. So I came to the US and it's like, it's worse because the darker, the worse. That's all I'm going to say, because it's like, boys will be like, oh, she's too dark.
Yes.
Go to work.
And those all the stupid TikToks they've been making.
I feel like the dark you are.
TikToks they've been making. Black girls, white girls. I feel like
the darker you are, the worse the racism. It's really hard. And then I realized that it also became a thing where, like, it was kind of... I was talking to my little sister and she was saying that in Ghana, the beauty standard is light skin, big booty, what else? And what's not. And then she was talking about how, like, if you look at social media, like all the influencers who are really, really like popular in Ghana, as we know, how many of them are actually like darker than a certain skin tone? So I just thought about it and I was like, actually, that's true. I don't even think it's intentional. I guess like that's what everybody is like used to seeing. So then automatically it's like, that's what's up there.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I don't know. I mean,
no, like I completely agree with you. And like, even you saying, you just reminded me when you said that, all the other darker girls in my form or my year used to be bullied because they were Black and that was just who they were. You just said something, because now you had that foreign privilege, right? Added to you.
Yes.
So for you,
I like that foreign privilege.
Yeah. Because, you know, that's also a real thing in Ghana, you know, where if you are, let me say American, let me say Western foreign privilege, because I imagine it hits different, different if you're from an African country. But the Western foreign privilege in, you know, that meant you were like exotic, quote unquote. So it was almost like her being dark can be accepted because she's also American, you know. But when when you're Ghanaian, well, quote unquote American, I know you're Ghanaian, but you know, but when she is Ghanaian and she's dark, surely there must be something wrong, right? You know, because I mean, I know I'm Black because we're all Black in Ghana, quote unquote.
Right.
But like, I'm not that Black, you know? You know? And so,
yes.
Yeah. And so like, then it comes to that same thing of, then I have to talk because I have to share my opinion, you know? And I'm so grateful that I was born in this year only because For example, when I was small, I really wanted to perm my hair because everybody else was perming their hair.
Girl.
Because putting chemicals in your hair was just the thing. It was the thing. But my mom said no. She won't allow me to put any chemicals in my hair. And so I did it. And then I was in boarding school on top. When I came out of boarding school, there was all of this natural hair movement. 4C hair is beautiful. 4C hair is this. Mm-hmm. So I was like, wait a minute. I guess I don't have to put chemicals in my hair after all. You know, you have black, beautiful girls accepting their hair for the first time because they know that it's okay. You have dark-skinned girls now getting to accept themselves for the first time because they see people like Adut. They see people like Aweng. You know, they're seeing people all over their screens now. And they're so comfortable in their skin that it's like, if you are okay being you and you have this platform and all these eyes are on you, then, you know, since I don't have this platform, I'm okay being me as well.
For sure. And you went right into our next subtopic, which is a natural hair. I know I didn't add it to the little pocket thing, but then it just came into my mind. I didn't know how to ask this question, but when I guess you've spoken a little bit about your general thoughts concerning natural hair, but then again, for Ghanaian youth in particular, what do you think people's perceptions about hair in general, like braids, more of the, I don't want to say traditional African hairstyles, but then I will just use that term for lack of a better one. What do you think this is saying about our shifting view of how black women should present themselves?
Oh, as for hair, dear, I trust Ghana. As for hair, hair can be the one thing. I trust Ghana because I'm on the streets now. So many women have their hair out, right? So many women have their natural hair. And for people that don't know natural hair, because it's really funny, because natural hair, when we say natural hair in Ghana, we're referring to your hair in its most natural state. It's really funny because I was talking to somebody in America and I was like, oh, okay, so I think, oh, is this your natural hair or something? She was like, yeah. And her hair was like, it was pimped, right? But like, she was like, yeah, this is my natural hair. And I was like, oh, no, that's what I meant. But like, at the same time, she was, but it's my natural hair. So anybody who's listening to this and you're like, are you talking about all hair? No, no, no. When we say natural hair in Ghana, we refer to like when it's in this, like, And as for Ghana, I trust with hair. Like, it gets me so much confidence. So many people braid hair in Ghana, you know. People with braid hair, they'll go and abroad, they'll make money from braiding other people's hair. You know, so I do think there's a growing love of just being you, especially in the hair department. And me, we love to see it. That's what I want to see. I love to see it.
Yeah, I agree. I love to see it. And I don't want to see anything else. I mean, I don't mind the weaves and stuff, but then we want to see more of the embrace of African hair.
I don't mind weaves because, yeah, I like changing my hair. I love it. I love the ability to be diverse with my options. I love it. Like, the only thing, again, it's not so much what you do, but where it's coming from. You know, I never want you to, again, come back and wear the waves because you don't like your hair. You know what I mean? Because then, that's like, it's painful for you, right? But then, like, if you wear the waves because you're like, nah, Monday I'll be doing it natural, Tuesday I'll be going international.
Period.
You know? And I'm like, Wednesday, da, 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 and like, you want to change your hair every day because you genuinely love it, then go for it. Go for it. Yeah, that's kind of where my mind is at with that.
I agree with that 100%. I guess for me personally, I really hate waves because they're just a lot of work. So I'm speaking from that standpoint. But then I also think the mindset behind why am I wearing this wig is also very important.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, we're about wrapping up. Do you have anything else you want to share, you want us to talk about?
Before, I mean, like, especially with the body thing, I think I'm definitely learning, like, I'm still learning what does that look like to embrace my body. You know, there was a quote that I heard sometime where it was like, I love myself enough to change myself. And it was the idea that I love myself to want to change myself to be the best version of myself, right? Best version of yourself doesn't mean lose 20 kilograms. That isn't always what best version of yourself means. That could mean, that could fit into your best version of yourself, but it's not necessarily like a weight thing. You know, it's not necessarily like, it's just like, what do you think will empower you the most, right? Like, to be the best, like I need people to be more selfish for the right reasons, because that allows you to think, you know, listen to podcasts that make you want to be better. You know, there's this podcast I've just started. It's called To My Sisters. Like, I even messaged them today.
I saw that on your story and I put it on my list. I was like, I'm listening to that.
Listen to it today. It's your homework. You know, like, I listen to the ladies on the To My Sisters podcast, and I want to be a better person, because I'm like, crap, even though life is hard, I can do this. Surround yourself with positivity. Who are your friends? If your friends are being bad people, just cut the ties. And I know it's not always easy. Like,
it's not always easy.
Like, and like, I know sometimes your family, you know, is stressing you. People don't always have families that are nice. And, you know, what does that look like for you to create safe spaces you can run to? You know, it doesn't mean cut off everybody, you know, in the world. You know, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean that maybe instead of talking to somebody who constantly puts you down about your feelings, you you talk to somebody else. You know, you find YouTube channels you like to watch. You find Instagram pages you like to follow. In fact, create a whole Instagram that nobody's on. Nobody's on, and you can follow so many different accounts. For me, that's what. I have an Instagram account that I follow, like, so much positive things there. And it's just, it's just nice. It's just nice. So, yeah, I just figure out who you are and just lean into that.
Definitely. I definitely think we as a people need to learn how to be more intentional and positive with the type of people we follow on social media, because this is a primary form of contact where we start to consume all these stereotypes and beauty standards and beliefs. So
I agree.
Well said. Well said. Thank you so much for joining
me,
taking time out of your day. I really enjoyed this discussion. I was smiling throughout. I am still smiling. One thing I wanted to bring up is, first of all, I've been like obsessing over you since I think Connie Tatt introduced me to your content, because I think she tagged me and I was like, oh, who's this? And I've been like, I feel like you are a trailblazer. And I enjoy your content so much. I watched the video that Lady Dazzy posted on Thursday. And I swear every single answer you gave was the answer that was in my head. And I was like, this is why this person is a trailblazer. Like, every single thing. So thank you so much for being bold and confident and being who you are with your content. I appreciate it. I know so many other people appreciate it. And just thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. And I'm still going to be posting content. Hopefully it keeps getting better. That's always like the biggest pressure. Yes. Like, I hope, like, I just hope it's good. What I'm putting out in the world is good. And
for sure. I know I'm enjoying your vlogmas, so like, you're doing amazing.
Thank you. I'm going to edit today's episode today. So, yeah.
Please go and edit now. We are waiting for you. All right. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning into this episode. You can follow Nubuke on Instagram at Nubuke, Snapchat
thank at Nubuke, you. YouTube,
Twitter at Official Nubuke, and add her on at Nubuke. At Nubuke.
Yes.
If you're not doing this, I don't know why you're listening to this podcast, because you'll be missing out. I'm telling you.
You can find guest information in the description of today's episode. Thank you for listening to today's episode of A Penny and a Peswa. You can stream episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review of 5 stars. You can follow us on our Instagram page at @penny_and_apeswa. See you on the flip side. Woo!